Well, I greet you today in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And it's my privilege to be able to share in the Daily Inspiration. Thank you for calling in today. My name is Steve Clark, and this is day one in a seven-day series that we're going to be doing a little Bible study / devotional this week, and Lord willing, it'll be a blessing. I hope you are able to call in and listen to all seven of these. I've been studying a topic or a word, I guess, for a while now. Actually, it's been years I've studied this topic or this word, and the word that we're going to be looking at and focusing on throughout this week is the word, the English word, world, W-O-R-L-D. And it's in the Greek, if you look up in the Greek, it would be cosmos. So we're going to look at cosmos this week and hopefully get some understanding into this word. And there's the word is used in the New Testament 187 times, and 186 of those times, the English translation, the King James translation, would be world. There's one other time it's used as adorning, and we'll look at that later. But let me just give you a couple examples of this word. In two verses that are very familiar with you, John 3:16 and 17, the word is used four times. And let's look at that. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So in this verse, we see that it is sometimes used as the people of this planet, or the humans. And like in the first time that it's used there, "For God so loved the world," it wasn't that he loved the earth or necessarily the whole creation. It's not talking about necessarily there, but it's talking about the people, because Jesus came to die for the humans, for the people of this world. And so for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the people, the humanity, God loved them. And then it goes on, "For God sent not his Son into the world." Well, I believe in that sense it's talking more of, the earth. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world," there again the people, "that the world, the people, through him might be saved." And so the word is used in a variety of ways. It's a little bit of a broad word. And here it says that God loved the world. Well, that's interesting, because in John, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and this is probably also a familiar verses to you, says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So here, this says for the believers here, to love not the world. Well, as I mentioned in the previous verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So God loved the world, but here it tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So I don't know if you ever thought of that. It seems like it's a little bit of a contradiction. And it's the same Greek word there used in both places. But as I said, this word is a broader, it has a broad meaning. Sometimes the word is used for the all of humanity, like we saw earlier. Sometimes it's used for just the earth itself. And sometimes it's used for another aspect of this this creation. And let me let's go back to the beginning when God created the world. God made in 6 days. He created everything, as I'm sure you well know, you know, by reading the scriptures, that he spoke things into being, the planets, the stars, the solar systems, the sun, the moon, and this earth. And he spoke different days. He spoke the plants into existence and created those out of nothing. It wasn't like he started with something and created. It was just from his word. He created all the plants, all the trees. He created all the animals and the fish. And he also created man. And man was unique because man was created in his image, after his likeness. And he gave man a free will to choose, to make decisions, to be not just like the other animals, but he was more like God. He was created in God's image and in God's likeness. And everything that he did was good. He said everything was good, and that he made. It was all perfect. It was a perfect order, or perfect universe, perfect world, perfect cosmos. Everything was perfect. And even he said about man, he said, he said all was good except for then man. He said it was very good. And God was pleased. And Adam lived in a perfect world. The whole order, the whole system worked perfectly. There was no sin. There was no death. There was no pain. There was no suffering. There was no want. Everything was there. Everything was perfect. It was just a perfect order and arrangement in this cosmos. The cosmos was beautiful. And Adam and Eve, they we don't know how long they lived in that perfect world before they sinned, but during that time, like I say, there was no killing. Even they didn't eat animals at that time. They only ate vegetables and fruits and nuts and grains, and their bodies functioned very well on those things. The lions didn't chase the rabbits or the deer and kill them to eat. Everything was vegetarian at that time. That was the cosmos. That was God's creation, and it was very, it worked completely perfectly. There was no defects in that whole cosmos. That was God's cosmos. In Strong's, there's a definition, a few definitions that I'd like to read here about the word cosmos, Strong's Concordance. It's an apt and harmonious arrangement or constitution, order, government. And so, see, it's this harmonious, it's just this whole order or government or constitution, arrangement. It's all harmonious. It's all working perfectly. That's what cosmos means, this order. And it sometimes is used as the inhabitants of the earth, men and the human race, like I said earlier. And it's also sometimes used as the ungodly multitude, the whole mass of men alienated from God and therefore hostile to the cause of Christ, the definition says. It also can mean world affairs, the sum total of things earthly, the whole circle of earthly goods, endowments, riches, advantages, pleasures, which although hollow and frail and fleeting, they stir desire, they seduce from God and are obstacles to the cause of Christ. So that's the definition that Strong's gives, and let's look at that. It was a perfect world. Everything was orderly, and that was God's cosmos. But then when Adam and Eve sinned, the cosmos changed, And in that perfect world, let's go back, in that perfect world, God was the center of that. God was, everything moved around God. He was the center. They had fellowship with God every day and all the time. God walked with them in the garden. It was perfect. It was, it was beautiful. But then when sin came in, then that cosmos changed. And now instead of God being in the center, man believed the devil, and man actually became the center of everything. And that's where we're at today. It's humanism, where man is the center. You look at, you know, all the societies, it's all about man. It's not about God anymore. It's about man. And so man becomes the center. Humanism, that's what happened because of the fall. And there's, so then this cosmos, this order, it actually, a lot of it changed, or some of it changed anyway, where there's death, there's sin, there's pain, there's suffering, and all of these kind of things in this whole world, this cosmos. So this is what God tells us not to love. He tells us not to love this world system and the humanism part of it and the systems of this world. There's another definition I'd like to give is in Vincent's World Studies of the New Testament, cosmos means the order of things which is alienated from God as manifested in and by the human race. Humanity as alienated from God and acting in opposition to him, the sum total of human life in the ordered universe, considered apart from and alienated from and hostile to God and of the earthly things which seduce from God. And that's the aspect of the world that we're going to look at this week. I already quoted or read the verse, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But I want to read some other verses of this aspect of the world that God tells us to not love. And it's not talking about the people of the world, but it's the systems of the world. And we're going to be looking at those systems this week. But it says here in James chapter 1, verse 27, it says, and pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So what is it that we're supposed to, how can we be unspotted from the world? But this is a command of God that we would keep ourselves. This is pure religion and undefiled before God is to keep ourselves unspotted from this world. Also in James chapter 4, verse 4, it says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So what is it to be a friend of the world? We're going to be looking at those things. A friend of the world, and it's not necessarily talking about the people of the world necessarily, but the systems of the world. That's what I want. We're going to be focusing on are the systems of the world. In also in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it says here not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So here we're not to be a friend of the world, we're not to love the world, we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, and we're not to be conformed to the world. And what is it that this is talking about? And maybe you think you have a good understanding of what the world is, but I just really encourage you to listen this week. And maybe God will open your hearts and minds to something maybe a little bit different than what you're actually thinking about what the world is. So that's the start there. We've introduced the topic for this week. We've also had a few definitions, and we've talked about or read through these verses that God tells us not to to love about the world. So I just want to say in closing here is this, going back to this definition, says the whole circle of earthly goods, endowments, riches, advantages, pleasures, etc., which although hollow and frail and fleeting, they stir desire, they seduce from God, and are obstacles to the cause of Christ. So we're going to be looking at the systems of the world, and I have my notes here. I'd like to give us a few of these systems that we're talking about here, the systems of the world. Let's see here. One would be the political system. Okay, let's see. Get my right page here. Okay, another one would be the financial system and the religious system and the fashion system of the world, the educational system, the value system, the judicial system, the entertainment system, the sensual system of the world. So we're going to be looking at this week are these systems of the world that God doesn't want us to love, that he wants us to be unspotted from. And so I just hope and pray that you'll be blessed this week as we share in these things. Thank you for calling in, and Lord willing, we'll go again tomorrow and look deeper into what we're talking about here today. God bless you.